president of the acting president of the SADC Parliamentary Forum and Vice President, honorable members, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed a profound honor to present and table the country report on South Africa's implementation of the resolutions adopted at the 57th Plenary Assembly session. Before a deep dive into South Africa's country report, it would be amiss of me not to preface my presentation by joining His Excellency Paul Mashatile, who opened our meeting on Sunday, in acknowledging the historic nature of the 58th SADC PF Plenary Assembly, which is taking place at the back of successfully held P20 Speaker Summit, of which a majority of you participated. And I would like to thank the speakers of the SADC Parliamentary Forum for their participation in the SADC Parliamentary Speaker Summit. It also comes at the backdrop of the successfully held G20 Leaders Summit. But most importantly, I think it would be amiss of me and all of us not to continuously thank the Parliament of Namibia, and through you, Speaker, for having been a trailblazer in ensuring that as parliaments in the region are able to continue to meet and can have a locus where we can say, this is our office. And for that, we owe it to the Parliament of Namibia and the peoples of Namibia. It is important also for us to note that as we continue the transformation of the SADC Parliamentary Forum, through former Speaker Kachavivi, he indeed committed, and I'm sure that will be carried on by Speaker Sarah, that even when we continue becoming a parliament, Namibia still stands ready to continue to host our headquarters in Namibia. Honourable members, now coming to the issues at hand, maybe before that, I need also to thank our Speaker of KwaZulu-Natal, Speaker Nontembeko, who has been gracious as our host and indeed welcome us to host this SADC 58th Assembly, Plenary Assembly here in KwaZulu-Natal. As well, I must also say that I would also want to extend our gratitude to our speakers of our provincial legislature who also were gracious enough to participate in this forum as observers, and I've noted that some of the countries also brought observers. Maybe if I can digress, honorable members, this is a good point and maybe we should encourage it because it allows most of our members of parliament, but also through them our peoples, to really appreciate the role of the SADC Parliamentary Forum, not only in passing, but also where they themselves would be experiencing and seeing how we deliberate on decisions that we take here. Honorable members, in implementation of the resolutions from the 57th Plenary Assembly and response to recommendations and various standing committees of the forum, I must say that one of the key issues coming out of the 57th General Plenary Assembly was a resolution on how, as National Parliament, we can improve our utilization of artificial intelligence while guaranteeing user and national security. Our Parliament has been actively overseeing the implementation of policy frameworks, programs, and action plans by the executive. At the legislative front, the South African Parliament has established the National Artificial Intelligence Policy Framework, with the first draft published by the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies in August 2024. This has been aimed at balancing AI benefits with ethical, social, and economic consideration. Honourable members, I think this work is important as we note that this year, as we celebrate, or not celebrate rather, as we observe the 16 days of activism on violence against women and girls, we're specifically looking at the vulnerability brought upon by artificial intelligence and other digital communications, which has further exposed the violations of women in these platforms, and in particular, their impact on women members of parliament. And I think it is important that as we champion and prioritize the use of artificial intelligence and other technologies, we pay particular attention into the regulatory environment that ensures that they protect while at the same time advance the use for the benefit of all. The progress on standing committee resolution, South African Parliament has integrated committee resolutions into the structures and strengthened its oversight mechanism to ensure the implementation is integrated with the actions of the executive. On the adopted resolution to foster budget transparency, improve prison infrastructure and secure access to affordable health care, I can report that extensive work has been undertaken by our portfolio committee on correctional services to improve and expand infrastructure and conditions in correctional facilities, as well as establishing and operationalizing the South African Bail Fund. This bail fund was developed by the Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services to address the injustices faced by remand detainees who cannot afford bail accounts under 1,000 rand. Currently, 2,613 detainees remain incarcerated due to financial constraints, worsening prison overcrowding. Honourable members, on the adopted resolutions related to food, agriculture, natural resource, and climate action, the Parliament recognized the rising bread prices affecting the food security of citizens and, in particular, prisoners. The Department of Correctional Services revived its bakery program and also some agricultural activities on the land that they have to internalize the promotion of food security while at the same time transferring agricultural skills to detainees which they can use when they leave the correctional facilities. This has resulted in cost saving but also ensuring skills transfer. With regard to the resolutions encouraging a paradigm shift in funding from militarization to peace building, I can report that on 18 June 2025, the Department of Defense presented its strategic plan 2025 to 2030, an annual performance plan for the medium-term expenditure framework to the National Assembly. In this, the department outlined a balance in allocation of resources between interventions designed to address disaster relief and fire prevention with those addressing climate crisis, cyber threats, and regional instabilities. Moreover, in accordance with the resolution to urge SADC parliamentarians to support an internal ban on autonomous weapons system to prevent their development and deployment, I can report that the department has put in place measures to monitor and respond to this resolution, including enhancing defense diplomacy engagements aligned with national foreign policy objectives, as well as defense engagement with key global players. Honorable President and honorable members, on the resolutions relating to gender equality, women advancement and youth development, I can report that 11 June 2025, the Portfolio Committee on Police was briefed on executive actions aimed at combating gender-based violence and femicide. The gender-based violence has been declared as a national crisis with the aim of channeling more resources and raising awareness for all stakeholders to hold hands in fighting the scourge of GBV, but also in ensuring that the issue of GBV is not only seen as a woman's issue. Men have been mobilized to actually ensure that they take part in dealing with this scourge, and a campaign that they've been championing is Not In My Name. On 29 June 2025, the Portfolio Committee on Police was also briefed on progress report by the South African Police Service on cases of violence against children, and further received a presentation by the Women Empowerment Platform on violence against children. Correspondingly, on the 26th June 2025, our Parliament joined Multi-Party Women's Caucus, which convened to receive briefings from South African Police Service and the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development on the implementation of gender-based violence and femicide measures, investigation and challenges around protection orders and resourcing. I want to come to the issue, Honourable Member, some of the detail you can read in your report through the SADC platform. But I want to come now on live matters that the SG has written and asked us to respond on. Honourable President, Acting President, Honourable Members, allow me to address the live matters of importance for this forum and outline the tangible progress we have made. The effect on tariffs on trade in SADC member states. Honourable Members, the tariffs had indeed had a direct impact, as my colleagues have said, in a number of key sectors, particularly in our country, that relates largely on the automotive industry and agricultural export. It would be recalled that the US is one of the major trading partners that not only South Africa, but other members have benefited from, particularly on AGOA. Proposed or imposed tariffs, such as 25% on vehicles, have led to higher cost and reduced competitiveness for South Africa's made or assembled vehicles in the US market, which could potentially slow demands. I think it's important, Honourable Members, to say when we look at these issues of tariffs, it's not only about the impact of trade or its slowness, but its impact on employment and to our people. Equally, the steel and aluminium industries have been directly affected by the US tariff, disrupting global supply chains and increasing manufacturing costs. Here in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, one of the steel companies, ArcelorMittal, had announced the closure of one of their plants in Newcastle, an area where it had been largely dependent on that assembly plant. And I think it is important to also appreciate that when such industries are affected, it actually has an impact on the downstream industry, which also employs a number of people. But it is important that in our response, as South Africa, but also as other countries, is to what extent we really increase our trade among ourselves, utilizing the instrument of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, as we've heard from Namibia. We've indicated that they've deposited their instruments, and South Africa has done so, and I know some of the countries in the region have equally done so. But at the same time, how do we diversify our trade from only dependence on the West, but also utilizing the East, Middle East, as well as other developing countries where we could have a competitive advantage? On the reform initiatives for critical mineral mining and distribution, South Africa is actively pursuing mineral beneficiation to add value to its resources and boost economic growth. This involves transforming raw minerals into higher value products, fostering industrialization and job creation. But it is important, Honourable Members, to indicate that this equally will require dedicated investment from our governments to ensure that enough resources are actually put in this course of direction that we, and not just we in South Africa, but other countries would like to take. And how do we make sure that these critical minerals become the base of our industrialization and we can actually regulate it and coordinate our strategies in the region so that we are able to protect our capabilities? On robustness of the democratic framework to ensure the perpetual succession of parliaments, indeed, Honourable Members, I can say here that our constitutional democracy with a three-tier system of government legislation and an independent judiciary is actually standing firm. We have ensured as Parliament that we put an oversight in ensuring that in the way in which our instruments such as the Independent Electoral Commission does its work is actually of quality, fairness and independence. At the same time, Parliament as a body is the one that would interview and make the recommendation of the appointment of commissioners to the Independent Electoral Commission. But at the same time, it is important to indicate that on an ongoing basis, in these 3 tiers of government, continuous elections are done on a cycle of 5 years, but also when there are by-elections, which might have been occasioned by one reason or the other. And at the same time, there has been an increase in the participation of women and young people, because we have ensured that these are part and parcel of the important sectors of our community whose voices must be heard. In the consideration of the protocol and modalities of operation of the SADC Parliament, indeed we have deposited our instruments, and we do trust, honourable members, that sooner in 2026 we can remove the PF and just remain with the P. And I'm happy, Lesotho. And I'm happy that Lesotho has indicated that they are already far gone into the process. And I'm sure the remaining member parliament, who has a brand new speaker, Malawi, will do the same sooner. With the li will be the li for ensuring that this protocol indeed is finalized. And again, it is important to thank our forebears who really made sure that they championed by lobbying a number of heads of state in our region, led by our Ambassador Mutenda, our speaker, who's a and former speaker Kachaviva, who really made sure that they, together with other members of the speakers, such as Speaker Muti, as well as Speaker Mbete initially, and Angola, would really make sure that they represent this forum well. And today, we say thank you to them, even those of them who may not be members of parliament today. On the violations under the African Charter on Human and People's Rights, Madam Chair and members, I want to say that South Africa's compliance and implementation of this charter, also known as the Banjul Charter, is characterized by commitment stemming from its post-apartheid constitutional democracy. Honorable Acting President, members, thank you very much. You will then read our report like we will read yours in the website of the SADC Parliamentary Forum. Thank you very much.